Hello, everyone, and welcome to Attempted Adults with Anna and Chris.
Hello, everyone.
So it is November 20th at the day of this recording, and I have been listening to Christmas music for 1 month.
Wow.
No regrets. Not a one. Although, when I was listening to it on Spotify, I did have in October, I had a friend text me and say, "Is everything okay? It's October, and you're listening to Jingle Bells." And I said, "That means everything's really good, actually." So today, in that vein, because it's never too early to start talking about it, and because Thanksgiving is almost upon us, it is a week away from the time of this recording, we are talking about the holidays and going home for the holidays, or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
Very good. So I guess let's just hop right in, because, you know, time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm.
Anna.
Yeah.
Have you ever missed a holiday with your family?
I was thinking about this. I don't think I have ever missed a what I would deem major holiday, quote unquote, with my family. I have made it home for every Thanksgiving, every Christmas. I have not made it home for my birthday because my birthday is in September.
Do you consider your birthday a major holiday?
I believe that my birthday should be a national holiday, and despite my many letters, I have gotten no response. Mm. So I'm a little upset about that. What about you?
I've been trying to think about it myself. I'm not sure if I've missed a holiday per se. I did live abroad for a while and couldn't afford to come home. So I think there was probably maybe a Christmas that I have blocked out of my memory. there's definitely been times where I have wanted to miss a holiday with my family for a variety of reasons. Either me and my mom are not getting along particularly well at the time, or because I just don't want to make the trip, the 2.5 hours that is likely to get me stuck in traffic at some point in time, which has always been really frustrating.
So does your mom listen to this podcast and now know that you didn't want to, that you wish you'd missed all your holidays?
Not all of them.
Okay,
There has probably been some. You know, all of us probably have some growing pains with our parents. I am no exception.
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay.
No, so, okay. Well,
Mom, I love you if you're listening to this.
Mom, I love you.
I am coming home for Thanksgiving.
All right, so question then. Thanksgiving food.
Mm-hmm.
What is, one, a staple in your family? Two, something that could disappear from the table and you would be very happy about? And three, your absolute favorite could not Thanksgiving without it food? That's three questions, and I know that's a lot, but you can do it. So, a staple.
Okay, one at a time.
Yeah.
So, a staple. I have premised this. I think y'all know by now I come from a big Caribbean family, and we always have jerk pork or curried goat at the holidays. It doesn't really matter which one. It's like a holiday food. So those are the staples that must be at the table. What was the second one?
The second one is one thing that if it disappeared from the table, you would not be mad.
The turkey. If the turkey disappeared off the table, I would not be mad. With that said, I want to brag about myself for a little bit.
Okay.
So everyone can listen. So I think, was it last year? No, maybe 2 years ago, I hosted Thanksgiving at my apartment for the first time.
Whoa.
It wasn't big. It was like me and my sister and my mom.
Still,
and my partner,
big deal.
I think. And I cooked the best turkey in the whole wide freaking world. You want to hear about it?
Yes. Do I have a choice?
So, I brined the turkey with a whole bunch of amazing spices for over 2 days. Now, mind you, I was freaking out because at the time, I didn't have like a really big fridge. So I had to brine the turkey in a cooler.
Oh, you can't see me, people who are listening to this podcast, but I just threw up a little bit.
Listen.
Because I feel like I've used, like, I pulled drinks out of a cooler at your house, and now I'm wondering if it's the same one.
It's not the same cooler. It was like a disposable cooler.
All right.
The turkey wasn't its own thing, right?
This is a very adulting solution to a problem. I would just like to say this whole story is very much like a lesson in adulting.
Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome.
So after I brined the turkey for 2 days, the night before Thanksgiving, or the night of Thanksgiving, like, you know, going into Thanksgiving.
So the night that everyone goes out in their hometown and meets up with their high school friends, and
right.
I hide. in my house away from all of those people.
Yes. That day, I sat at home prepping the rest of the, you know, the side things.
Okay.
Right? And watching probably Christmas movies.
Sure.
And freaking out because I knew I had to go to sleep at some point and the turkey would be in the cooler overnight.
You don't have any pets, do you?
I have no pets.
Okay. Important clarifying question.
So I was really, really freaking out because I was like, what if the cooler like drops in temperature overnight and then my whole turkey makes everybody sick? So I, needless to say, I got no sleep that night. I literally got up every like 10 minutes with a thermometer, like jabbing into the cooler every few minutes to be like, are you still at the right temperature? You will not make everyone sick. Anyway, we got through that night. There was no turkey left, let me tell you. After I brined it, I then baked it slow for many hours, covered it with herbs and deliciousness and like butter under the skin the way you're supposed to and over the skin. It came out golden brown. If any of you want to see the pictures, I'm gonna put it on our Instagram for you so that you can know, and I'll send you the recipe.
Should I also put the picture of my turkey that I made a couple years ago on the Instagram?
Is it bright and brown and butterball? Uh-huh.
And we can decide
Competition.
A little competition here.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, is it a competition if I'm clearly going to win?
Oh, you're not going to win. I mean, we're not here to taste it, okay. So it's not a real competition.
We're getting off task. What is your favorite Thanksgiving food?
My favorite Thanksgiving food is the dessert, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. Any of the desserts. I really love Caribbeans. We like sweet potato pudding. Mm. I don't know how to describe it, but it's with the white yams. Mm-hmm. It's actually not sweet potato. It's a yam. Hmm. It's a whole thing. But that's delicious. I love it with a little side of ice cream. And yeah, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. So
I like it.
Same questions back to you. Okay.
All right. So I have a couple. My answers depend on where we're doing Thanksgiving. So we have always done a very balanced Thanksgiving where we try to go to one, like my mom's side of the family and then my dad's side of the family. And we do both. Not in one day anymore. That was a rough mm-hmm. time where we tried to do both in one day because they live in opposite directions. So, but I'm really lucky that they live within a day, so we can do both. All right, so signature things. On the one hand, there's those... we always do like a big homemade Thanksgiving, and then there's the Pillsbury roll-up crescent rolls. My grandmother always makes those or made those. And then, ooh, dark twist. And then, let's see. I think when it's at our house, my dad will make rolls from scratch sometimes, and that's like a good one. There's no real signature thing. Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing that's, oh, that's a lie. Ooh, my mom listens to this. She's going to be so mad at me. Okay, my mom makes honey glazed carrots that are to die for, and they are on the table every year. Okay. Yum. Second part. Yeah, super good. Second part was what I wouldn't miss.
Yeah.
Honestly, same. Turkey. Like, turkey was my first instinct. But to not just copy your answer, there's this, like, creamed onion casserole mm-mm. thing that maybe it's good, but it just does not appeal to me. So I've never even tried it, and I would not be sad if that went away. The turkey, I'd be a little sad if it went away just because it wouldn't look like Thanksgiving. But turkey's not my jam. And then my favorite, I'm a stuffing person. I'm all about, all about the stuffing life. But also dessert, too. Really, if I just had, like, stuffing and pie, I could sit in the corner and have my own Thanksgiving and be totally content for a long time.
What's in your stuffing at the house?
Bread. Other things.
You don't sausage. Even know.
Yes, I do. I made it. I have made it. Okay, it's like a sausage, bread, herbs, celery, like some vegetables.
Okay.
That being said, it's not pulled out of the turkey. It's made separately. The stuffing made inside the turkey just feels like soggy. It's not getting hot enough, and yeah, questionable.
That's not it.
All right. Are you tired of listening to our favorite Thanksgiving things now?
Maybe.
Let's talk about this.
I could talk about food all day.
So, all right. There's a couple different aspects to Thanksgiving that we're going to talk about today, other than just the food, which, are you cooking anything this year?
Probably. Probably the stuffing, because my family won't eat anyone else's stuffing but mine.
Ooh. So yeah. you've got a recipe.
I do.
Okay. All right. So there's different aspects to this. When we think about going home for the holidays or not going home for the holidays, that's two big categories. Which do you want to start with?
I think not going home for the holidays.
Let's talk about it. So I think not going home for the holidays, sometimes it's a choice and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just not going to work. Like you said, you were abroad 1 year. Sometimes you're just far away. Sometimes you just can't swing it. Sometimes you don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key is for both things is to have a plan, right? And know like a little bit about how you're going to feel if you aren't able to go home, but you would have liked to, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Or you aren't able to go home and you don't want to. And that's totally fine. But having a plan of what you're going to do over that time, whether it is I'm going to sleep all day and enjoy that and order takeout, and that's going to be what I'm doing for that holiday and I'm settled on that. Or like I'm going to make sure that I call and like be a part of it and Skype in. Like whatever it is, that you have a plan in place for what you're going to do.
We've done that. We've Skyped in family members and it's nice. It's nice to be able to check in and see how they're doing and make them jealous of the food we're eating.
That's fair. Unless it's really sad.
So that also being said, for those of you who are in college and can't go home for Thanksgiving, oftentimes colleges will do a matching program where you can find people in your area, like your faculty or staff members who have an extra seat at their table. Might feel a little awkward at first, but ultimately, if they're offering it up, they want to welcome you in. And, you know, that is an option at many, I would say at many institutions of higher learning.
Yeah. And sometimes they have the dinners on the campus themselves. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go off and leave and go to someone else's home if that's not something you feel comfortable with. And also don't forget about like local things around. I feel like oftentimes young people in their schools, they get so wrapped up into the little bubble that they're living in that they forget that there are other like organizations around that are opening their doors for people that are displaced regardless of your age.
I know there's a local brewery around where we live that does a People's Thanksgiving, and it's people who don't have a place to go or aren't able to cook their own dinner that for Thanksgiving, and they offer it up. It's a pay-what-you-can dinner, and I've heard it's amazing, just sidebar. So, yeah, there's lots of opportunities in the community to engage with Thanksgiving. And then maybe you don't want to celebrate Thanksgiving because we understand that there are some maybe not so great origins to that story.
Yeah, like the colonists and Columbus. F them.
So maybe you're not celebrating, and that's okay too. You know, try to make the day what you want it to be and enjoy that time, right? You don't have to go to school. You don't have to go to work. What have you wanted to do for a day? Go do it. What would you do if you weren't going to celebrate Thanksgiving and you had a full day?
I would probably still cook a big meal and eat. That's what I like to do, so that's what I would do. Maybe I'd go ice skating.
Oh, that's good. If it would ever snow here.
No, I don't want the snow.
I'll go ice skating indoors. There's no snow, and I'm upset. All right, well, rant over.
Okay.
Ice skating indoors. It's so weird. All right, so then what about the people who can't go home, not by choice?
So the people that want to go home but can't.
There's lots of reasons this might happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Finances.
Yep.
Just distance.
It's possible that your family doesn't want you to come home. Right. Sometimes there are those instances where, and maybe in that case, you might not want to go home either. But sometimes
if you don't have a family to go home to.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So there's lots of different reasons why someone might not go home. And this is also helpful for people who are going home to remember that not everybody else gets to do that. You know,
Be considerate of your friends, of the people around you, because the holiday times can be really, really hard. It can be hard to be alone. It can be hard to be surrounded by people. And so anyway, as we move forward with this, we're just going to talk about prioritizing your needs wherever you're going or whatever you're doing. How do you prioritize your needs? And y'all know me at this point, and I stick to what I always say, which is you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan for whatever it is you're doing and how you're going to prioritize. So for those of you in school, number one, school does not go away because you are eating turkey. Like, let's just be real about that. You're coming back to finals. So you have to find time to study while you are at home. Now, Some of us come and live in big places. Some of us live in small places. So how can you create space for yourself that is a study space that is away from the people that will distract you, regardless of how much you love them? Think about that. For me, I used to have to hop my little butt over to local library if I was really desperate and needed some space, because my house was way too small to find space. And then you also have to think about, okay, how have I been doing this semester? Do I need rest? Do I need like just time for me? And that's also very important. And you're going home, you haven't been around all the people that you care about, maybe your friends, family, your great aunt Mary, like all of these people need some of your attention. So how do you divvy up the time over like a 3-day course? Of course, J-term or, you know, that winter break is a longer time. But what is most important? Who are the people you need to prioritize? All these things are important and valid. I said important like 10 times.
Is there a word that means more than important? Nope. We're just going to say important multiple times. So, no, I like it. It's like you bolded it and caps locked. All right. So the other thing, one of my pieces of advice is don't let when you get home be the first time that you try to take care of yourself for the first time. That was not a real sentence. But the point is, if you can start getting into a practice beforehand, right? Like don't try to think about Thanksgiving before it happens. Think about, okay, I know that I'm going to have to engage with that relative who voted very differently than I did in the last election and is going to want to talk about it. How am I going to do, right? If you know that something is going to come up, or if you know that you have the same issue year after year, try to prep yourself a little bit beforehand. What are you going to do in that situation? What are you going to talk about? Thinking about those ahead of time can help you be prepared.
Yeah, I call it, for the specifically those political conversations or conversations about religion or just like really awkward things that might come up, like when are you getting married, where's the baby, whatever the case may be.
Are you speaking from experience?
No, but I've seen it happen to other people, and I call it master the swerve. What are some sentences that you can put in place to just, or things you can do to just disappear out of sight when when someone brings up something you don't want to talk about?
Or what's a devastating comeback?
Your mom.
No, that's, whoa.
No?
That's so not what I was thinking.
Okay.
Like, if you were like, if you asked me like, if you were like, yeah, Anna, when are you getting married? Where's the baby? I'd be like, I've been working really hard to not let either of those things happen. Thanks, Aunt Beth.
Becky.
Becky, I don't even know. All right.
Have some of your own sentences that is not your mom.
So mastering the swerve in a way that's not going to make them bring it up again and again and again, right? You're not saying, oh, you know, working on it, right? Because then they're going to ask you again. If you are not doing what they are asking you about, say, no, I'm good, right? It's being blunt and honest is helpful and productive sometimes.
Or make them feel really bad about themselves.
Whoa, no, don't do that.
Yeah, like this.
No.
All right.
This is no longer productive.
No, this is really productive, right? They're like, oh, when are you having a baby? Or why aren't you married yet? Or where is X and Y, Z, right? When like, you're queer, but they don't know, you can just be like, did you know that a lot of people in this world, like 30% of women have endometriosis and can't have children? And what if that was me?
Dark.
Yeah. And then they feel really bad and they'll never bring it back up.
Let's talk about when to take a break, because I'm going to go stand outside for a minute. All right, so let's talk about when to take a break. One of the things that I adore my family. I adore my extended family. We're really close, huge Irish family. That being said, sometimes I got to step back for a minute, right? And so I know I shamelessly use my dog as my excuse when I need to take a break, right? I say, oh, I'm so sorry. I got to take my dog out. She has to pee for the fifth time in an hour, you know, and that's not true, but I needed a minute. And my dog is always grateful for a walk, right? So I think figuring out your mechanism for when you need to take a break and where you're going to go.
I think another way to take breaks if you don't have a lovely sidekick would be to plan like your activities with other people in between times when you know you're going to be stressful, right? For many of us, we've had many holidays with these people at some point. So you know there's usually like a pattern. So around the time where you think it's going to happen, just plan something else so you have an excuse to leave. And it doesn't have to be like going out to eat with friends. Like it could just be like, oh, meeting up to do some homework kind of a thing. Encourage your other friends from other institutions to meet up to do work. That way you get it done.
One of the things that I really love about family holidays, so I'm really close with my brother, and so I think he would say the same. Who knows? So one of the things that I really like about family holidays is that my brother and I tend to be on the same wavelength. And so if you are able to find a buddy, right, and I've now talked about having my dog as my buddy and my brother because clearly I need multiple buddies, but if you're able to have a buddy who is also going to roll their eyes when, you know, your uncle makes a joke, right? So if you have a buddy who can help you navigate those systems because they are also navigating them, try to identify that person ahead of time. One of the things you can actually do is with your buddy, you can brainstorm assignments for challenging relatives or challenging people that might be around you. So if you have someone who's always really critical of your cranberry sauce, you know what you can do? Oh, hey, Aunt Linda, why don't you make the cranberry sauce this year? Right? Think about assignments. Think about ways that you can make people divert them down a different path that's not going to be bugging you. If you have a cousin, and I don't, I'm not talking from experience, speaking from experience. If you have a cousin who always just kind of mopes in the corner and plays on their phone, talk to them and say, hey, could you be responsible for watching the 17 tiny humans that now exist in our family for an hour? Thank you. And then they'll be engaged and helpful and productive. And not
poor cousin.
What?
Why don't you just bring a game?
Oh, you don't want my family to play competitive games.
Okay.
Point is, if you can engage people in a way that's not what's going to be frustrating or even hurtful to you, that's going to be a much more helpful and productive Thanksgiving.
All right, so let's go a little deeper, right? Because this segment has had me dying, but let's go a little deeper. So for a lot of us, like, we're going home from wherever we are living our lives, whether that is in school or we're somewhere else for a job, away from our families. And maybe the person that you are in your regular everyday life is a little different than the person you portray when you go home, mm-hmm. right? And so how do right. you protect that identity, protect yourself, and also find a way to both fit back in to your family fabric without, without jeopardizing or, like, harming yourself, I guess?
Well, and ultimately, sometimes I just want to note, like, the advice that we're going to talk about or the words we're going to say will not apply to everybody. Sometimes it is a choice. Sometimes it's not a choice, right? There's so many individual pathways within this area that we're talking about that we recognize that we are not going to be able to speak to everyone's individual experience. And we're not trying to do that anyway. But there are those different pathways. And I think that that's one of the reasons that we, way back at the beginning of all our joking around, I talked about prepping yourself. Mm-hmm. And so thinking about what you can do to kind of build yourself up in order to go home and be just a little bit more prepared for what might be coming.
Have you ever had an experience or where you, like, I don't know how to ask the question, mm-hmm. but where you've had to prep yourself for, maybe it's not a situation particularly with your family, but maybe other people around you that doesn't know something about you or expect something of you in particular?
I think that for me, it hasn't necessarily been about my identity. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there have been times where I've prepped myself to say, don't bring up politics, don't bring up politics, don't bring up politics, or bring up politics and, you know, see who's still talking to you by Christmas. I think that those are some of the choices I've made. It hasn't necessarily been with people around me as much. You know, I do think that I don't know if lucky is the word, but because my family is close, we are kind of also in each other's business. And so there isn't much, as far as I know, that hasn't been brought up and hasn't been kind of enveloped into the fold. I've prepped other people who have met my family for the first time, but it hasn't necessarily been something that was a scary experience, if that makes sense. This is a hard one for me to talk to because I have not experienced this directly. What about you?
Me? I think for sure. I'm trying to think of a very specific example to give. I think y'all know by now, like, that the background that I grew up in was pretty conservative Christian, very orthodox in a lot of ways, and I'm not that in maybe any sort of way. Mm-hmm. And so I think going back home, there has been times, less now than when I was maybe a college student or even a grad student, where going home, I had to figure out, like, okay, there's things that my family doesn't necessarily know about me. Things that I am used to doing. I come from a family that really believes in traditions, like freaking traditions out of the wazoo. And one of them is, like, going to church on New Year's Eve. All right, we've been specifically talking about, like, Thanksgiving, but going to church on New Year's Eve. So up to the point of when I was, like, 24, 25 years old, maybe, I had never had a chance to do anything. Like, all my friends would go out. Like, they'd always invite me. My partner would go out with his friends. He'd always invite me. And I was going to church. There was no, like, question about it. Until one year, I was like, Mom, I really want to do something else. I really want to do something else. It's not that I love Jesus any less. It's just that I really want to shake my ass into the new year. I didn't say it like that.
Oh, okay. That was my question.
No, I definitely didn't say that. But that's what I was feeling, you know? So, anyway, I ended up doing it. She didn't talk to me for, like, a day or two. But I was prepared for that. And I had, like, told some of my friends, like, this is something I want to do and something I'm thinking about doing, and just asked them to, like, check in with me a couple days later, because I obviously had to be there for, like, most of J term. I had nowhere to go. So people came and, like, picked me up. I, like, spent time with people and just had a plan in case that it did go sour.
Yeah. Ultimately, in this episode, we were talking about lots of different things. Some of them are lighter, some of them are challenging, but I think that that really is what the holidays represent, right? Some things about the holidays can be lighter and easy and kind of wonderful, and some of it can be really tough and challenging. And I think ultimately what we're trying to get across with this episode is that we understand that it's a mix of those things and maybe some other things that we didn't talk about, and we see that, and we encourage you to understand that going into it. It might not be all, you know, stuffing and pie. There might be some turkey in there and some onion casserole.
But no onion casserole.
It's a thing. People really like it. I don't get it.
It's like a reject from
creamy
the 50s.
Onions. That's not, it's like gross. Yeah, I'm surprised it's not in Jell-O.
Yuck.
So ultimately, to wrap up today, we hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We hope that you eat all of the food you want to eat. And don't eat the things you don't want to eat.
Yeah, don't do that. And, like, if there's things that you want us to talk about some more, or questions that you have about going home for the holidays, or just need some support, like, hit us up on our social media at Attempted Adults on Instagram, and we'll be there. We'll send some support out for you and some messages.
Chris will send you some of her famous turkey.
I'll send you some of my favorite turkey. That is for sure.
Mine's better. Thank you all so much for listening. Yours in adulthood, Anna
and Chris.
Bye.